Good morning, church. Rainy day session. Everybody okay? Hanging in there? We don't get much weather here. Good morning, those of you joining us from around the country where it's probably snowing. So good to see everybody. Hey, a little praise report here. I asked you last week if any of you would be willing to help us out and man the semi-truck out here for Operation Christmas Child. As you know, we're a South Orange County receiving center, so churches will bring the boxes here to our campus, individuals will, and so we needed about 30 people to help man the truck. And last count, we have 27. So you stepped up, you jumped in, really appreciate it. If you want to help out, there's 3 slots left. So anyway, I wanted to give that. And also, good news, I'm super excited to be able to let you know that, ladies, there's a brand new book out for you called Spiritual Bling. It's by our very own PCC-er, Elizabeth Lonseth. She's an author here, been attending the church for a long time. And she just finished this book. It's an 8-week series for you ladies on just, you know, the discipleship and devotion before you and the Lord and how God has called women uniquely than men. And so I encourage you to pick this book up. She's made it available to you at cost. So I think it's like $8 or something. She might even be losing money. So, but she does, it's not about making money, it's about making this available to you. And so it's super exciting to be able to push that and highlight that's one of our own PCC-ers using her gift to bless the body of Christ. So pick this up. She's at a table out back, and I'm sure she'd be excited to talk to you about it and make it available to you. Okay. So I'm going to ask you this question. I don't want to verbal out loud, or I don't need you to raise your hand. Just in your heart, answer. Do you wish you made more money? Feel all the hands going up in the heart. Do you wish you made more money? Would you like to have more money? Okay, I'm going to follow up with the second question. Why? And you could probably answer your own desire. Well, because then we could finally fix the blah, blah, blah. Or then we could afford to do that or go there. Or it could be practical or whatever it is. We all have our reasons and can find homes for more income. And especially because of where we live, Orange County. It's a very rich community. And a very expensive community. To pay the tab in this community, survey says if you have a family, small family, and you're just meeting the basic needs, just the basic needs, nothing fluffy, whatever, $110,000 to $120,000 a year. If you want a little more comfortable, a little more leeway, it's about $180,000 a year. That is 68% higher than the national average. Our homes are almost 3 times the price of the national average. Gasoline, I don't know about you, but when you hear these reports, you know, national average is, you know, $3. This is ridiculous. It's like, you haven't been to California. It's double that unless you go to Costco. Your electric bill is double what the rest of the country pays. So it's expensive to live here. And quite honestly, if you're going to live here and survive here and not have to move here, you got to be pretty focused on money management to be able to pay the tab and to be able to make it work. Not easy. When it comes to this church, ministry, it's the same thing. It's expensive to do ministry here in South Orange County. If you asked me, Mark, do you wish the church had more income? Secretly, I'd raise my hand in my heart and go, yeah. And if you asked me why, I'd be like, because then we could do more ministry. We can hire more people. We can expand the gospel further. I mean, that's how it rolls. because of where we are. To pay the tab here is no different than to pay the tab in your home. We got the same electric bills. We have the same gas bills. We have the same whatever. Keep adding it on. So money management becomes important. Now here's the deal, though. The last 2 weeks, we've been talking about this, the church, the body of Christ, the family of God. And we've been talking about how we have, all have, before God, a calling of roles and responsibilities. And those roles and responsibilities we've talked about the last couple weeks. They're spiritual roles and responsibilities. They're relational roles and responsibilities. And here's the next piece. There's financial roles and responsibilities. We're all in this together. This isn't some governmental program that gets funded somewhere else or some part of some ecclesiastical organization. This is us. And we're in this together. And we all have responsibility before God in this together to be able to pay the tab. And so I'm going to talk about that a little bit this morning. I hope that it's encouraging. I hope in some ways it's maybe challenging. But at the end of the day, it's what God wants us to be doing together, like the other things we've talked about. I've titled this morning's message, Paying the Tab. And we're going to look at how to fulfill your financial responsibility at PCC. And let me clarify this. If you're logging on and you're watching online, and maybe this isn't your home church, then this same teaching gets transferred to your home church. Whatever church you call home, this is what we're going to be looking at today and what it applies to. We're looking at Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. Now, in 1 Timothy 6, we talked a little bit about money management, if you're with us in that study, but it was more in your home and how to deal with it in your home. Now this is going to be talking about your spiritual home. And money, as I mentioned a few months ago, is the most, it's the most talked about topic in the Bible. You would think prayer would be, right? Prayer is mentioned 275 times. You would think loving one another would be, right? 370 times. You know how many times money is mentioned? Over 1,000. So it's an important topic to God, an important one to talk about, and quite honestly, one I don't talk about very often. If you're visiting with us for the first time, you're going, oh no, here's one of those churches that talks about money, you know, classic, here they go, about money. No, trust me, I kind of don't even like teaching on it, but I don't do it a lot. Because I know how it'd feel if I'm sitting in your seat and hearing that. But it's necessary in terms of what we've been talking about the last 3 weeks in terms of a beautiful church, what a church looks like when we're going beyond the attendance and just the audience and speaker, but we actually step in and see that we have a role, we have gifts we're called to use, we're to bless one another by using those gifts, and finances is part of the discussion. So we're going to be talking about that. So we're going to, the setting now in Mark's gospel, chapter 12, is the temple. Okay, so the disciples are with Jesus in the temple area, probably the court of the Gentiles, that's my guess. It doesn't really say the text, but it's this area where people are mingling and talking and presenting their offerings to the temple, to the church, if you will, for the Jews. And the text says this in verse 41, chapter 12 of Mark's gospel. And he, Jesus, sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large amounts. So these offering boxes, as best they can tell because of the archaeological digs, they were these kind of like coffers, kind of horn-shaped receptacles, if you will. And the best they can guess is there's 13 of them spread out in this court, and they were made of bronze, okay? So when somebody dropped money in, you could hear it. Okay, and we're told in that verse that many rich people were putting in large sums. So you can picture it's kind of sounding like a slot machine. Right, it's loud. Okay, and just by way of background, During that time, without getting too much into it, because there was multiple taxes to the people from Rome, but when it came to a temple tax, or when it came to a temple tithe, that's what tithe means, it's 10%, it was a 10% fee. So all the Jewish males were required to give, or families were required to give 10%. So you do the math. They estimate during that time there's probably 1 to 2 million people, slash family, slash man. And 10% would have been equivalent to 2 days' wages. So you can do the math in your own mind. If you took your salary and took out 2 days' wages, and what would that be? But anyway, so a lot of money was going on is what we're highlighting. Now, here's the contrast. And a poor, verse 42, and a poor widow, which means no husband and no income, because the husband made the money. And a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which make a penny. It was called a lepta. It was just a little Greek coin. A penny, okay? So now, picture this. Ding, 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 and then tink. It's kind of like, oh. So you could tell who was really kind of stepping up in paying by the sound. They're made out of bronze. Okay. Next verse. And he, we're talking about Jesus, called his disciples to him and said to him, truly I say to you, that means what I'm going to say is really important. This poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. Now, from a financial standpoint, no, she isn't. A penny is not even close to being more than all the people, not just the one person, but all the people contributing in the offering box. So clearly Jesus is talking about this deeper issue of the heart that we'll get into in a second. But before we do, I think it's super important that we notice something here that's taking place. That from a practical standpoint, that the penny that she put in literally made no difference in covering the expenses of the temple. None. It was a waste of time. And she could have said that. She could have said, I'm putting in a penny. That's not going to help anything. What am I doing? They don't need my money. And yet she didn't. And she put in this little penny. And Jesus said, God's perspective is this is more valued than everybody else. And so there's a truth here that I think is super important that I don't want to skip over. Before we get into the heart issue, and we'll get into that, but I don't want to skip over that, this. And it's this principle. When we talk about how to fulfill your financial responsibility, PCC, number one, don't excuse yourself from giving. This is very important. God wants all of us to financially give to his church and support his church. And if it's PCC, then it's PCC. He wants all of us to participate and do what we can. Are you ready for this? No exceptions, because if there could have been an exception, it would have been the widow. And I would argue none of us are in the widow slot. And here's the deal, that we often do try to excuse ourselves and kind of get ourselves, quote, off the hook. Jesus said this in Matthew's gospel, do not, so it's a command, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up, here's the command, for yourselves treasures in heaven, whether neither moth or rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. We talked about this verse a few, but notice it's to everybody. This is to everybody. This isn't just to the rich. This isn't just to the more affluent. This is to everybody. Now, here's how it goes. So, and I was, so Susan and I were out to dinner a few nights ago, and we were on Del Mar, and we were kind of sitting on a patio outside this establishment, and 2 little girls come walking in the restaurant, and they're basically going table to table and selling candy bars. And I immediately like, what? Why are they letting them in? And so little one comes up, super cute. Mom's outside on the phone. You know what? I said, I knew I was in for it because my wife is a sucker for these. She'll give anybody money at any time. I mean, it's just like, so I'm feeling that, you know what? This is, why are they letting them in? This is a scam. This is, you know. And she says, barely said it, I'm selling this. And I said, what? What's it for? Kids camp. You know, part of me wanted to go, what camp? Can you even name the camp? I think it's Camp Sham. I'm not buying this, right? And she had this little, she had this little candy bar and this little box that was about this big with chocolate covered almonds. And I said, how much is that? She said, $10. I'm like, $10? What is it, a buck of almond? What do you know? But here's what I was doing. I was like, this thing's a sham. This is ridiculous. Why is the manager, what am I doing? I'm trying to get myself off the hook of buying this candy. My wife had a complete different perspective. Give the cute little girl $10. Who cares? Well, it's probably a sham. Yeah, but can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine if I had to be down here with our two children going in and out of establishments to make a living? Totally different perspective. So we can do that. Oh, church doesn't need my money. Oh, the church got plenty of money. What's my little thing going to do? It's not going to help anyway. You know, I'd rather do this and this. And what are we doing? We're getting ourselves an excuse to exclude ourselves from doing what God calls all of us to do. And we're pretty good at it. We can come up with those things. And I think part of it is just because we don't have the correct scriptural perspective on this. And so it's a thing that we kind of should do, but it's clearly, okay, if you have a budget, okay, just if you have a written budget or a mental budget, usually the things that are at the top of the budget are the things that are the most important. And those get covered. And have you ever noticed the things that are the bottom of the budget? You usually never have enough time for or money for. And so it stays at the bottom of the budget. And usually giving to a church is at the bottom of the budget. And so we go through our whole life and we go through our whole thing, pay for everything and everything, and then what's left over for the church? And it's usually nothing because we all raised our hand in our heart and said, we wish we made more money to be able to do other stuff. So this has to do with inserting what God has called us to do into the budget. And you're going to pay your mortgage because that's at the top of your budget. Then you're probably going to pay your utilities because those are at the top of the budget. And you're probably going to work your way down. And who knows, maybe you go dinner out. Well, maybe you never do the dinner out, but the utilities got paid. See what I'm saying? So this has to do with priorities. This has to do with where it is on our grid. Do you have a process? Do you have a plan for giving? Do you have an amount for giving? Do you have a frequency for giving? Because God wants you to give. God wants, let me clarify, me to give. I'm not off the hook. Nobody's off the hook. There's no hook, because we'll talk about it in a second, but nobody's excluded. So staff is part of the widow group. Give. Elders, pastors, people, even if it's a church. What? Yeah. We give as a church to missionaries. So we support those ministries. And what do? Well, if they're biblical, they support the churches in their areas. In other words, it doesn't stop. It just keeps going. But I think this is an area, honestly, that we're pretty good at excluding ourselves and coming up with reasons why. Now, I'm not talking about amount. I'm not talking about any of that. The penny was the penny, but she still gave. And God says, that's worth more to me than all the rest. So, I think the biggest problem is just not having a perspective that I need to be responsible to this. I need to be consistent in this. I need to play a part. And as a body of Christ and my body part that I relate to spiritually, relationally, and financially. But here's the deal too. It's always a good measurement. If everyone gave like you, how would we be doing? Would the lights be on? Would there be a donut on the table? Would there be staff for this church if everyone gave what you gave? But there's more. Fulfilling your role is important, but how you fulfill your role is the difference maker. By way of review, I'm going to jump into verse 44, but let me back up to 43 to keep the context. And he called his disciples to him and said to him, "Truly I say to you, the poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put everything she had, all she had to live on." So the rich left rich, and she left poorer than poor. And the rich paid what percent? Not a trick. 10%. What was her percentage? 100%. And why did she do that? Because it was an issue of the heart. And this is the transition we see going from the Old Testament. Old Testament was taxes. New Testament, it's your heart. It's gratitude. It's love for God. It's not a tax. And so this is the important piece. When we talk about what our giving should reflect, it should reflect our commitment to the Lord. It should reflect our gratitude towards God because what he did for us on the cross. The woman wasn't at 10%. She was at 100%. And so the second point, how to fulfill your financial responsibility at PCC, practice devotional giving. This isn't just about a 10% tax, some compulsory a number. This is about an issue of worship and gratitude to God. And we're called to give in a way that reflects that love for God. This is what makes it worship and thanksgiving. Paul said this, 2 Corinthians 9:12, "For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God." So, God loves a what kind of giver? Okay. This is the difference. So when you pay your taxes, are you a cheerful payer? No. You probably gripe and moan, and you're going to vote somebody in who's going to lower your taxes, right? So not only are you not cheerful, you pay money to accountants to lower that amount and feel good when that amount is lower. If we're not careful, we can take that perspective into giving. And then if we have this kind of have to, should, dig deep, we're not cheerful. It's not an act of worship. It's an issue of legalism, really. Yeah. So when you give here at PCC, well, if you give, if you don't, point one. If you do, let's talk about point two. Does it reflect your gratitude towards God? If God were to look and say, wow, you worship me in song and you sing and you praise me, but let's take a look at how we're doing financially. Does that reflect that? Paul put it this way to that Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians, he says it this way. The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he decided in his what? Heart, not a compulsory percentage, in his heart. Not reluctantly, or not because you have to, for God loves a cheerful giver. You filled that in earlier. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. In other words, God shows up in our giving. And I've never met anybody that's a generous person that gives out of gratitude for God going poor. God always supplies. Now, those of us on this side of that equation are afraid of that because we've never gone to this side. So it's a fear of the unknown. But this has to do with kind of, it's the difference of paying your taxes or giving your children money or somebody in your family money, helping them buy a home, whatever you do. It's a very different, one's a relational one. One's based on your relationship with them, your love for them, you hope for them to succeed. The other's based on just a compulsory 10%. Now, some of you pick 10%, okay. You can pick whatever percentage you want. But what's the heart saying? Does it measure your gratitude towards God? I mean, if we're honest, here's the dilemma. We all will say, oh, I'm eternally grateful to God. So by definition, I should give him all my money because he gave me everything at the cross. But we don't do that. So we got to navigate somewhere in that. This is very real to me. I mean, don't forget, I was a finance major in college. For me, I wanted to make money and not give it away. So it's a perspective. I'm not giving it away. It's a different kind of an investment, and it's a different statement of gratitude. I don't give my kids or my grandkids, you know, you give them the $100 or $200, if I don't sit here and go, what's my ROI on that? You know, are they going to pay me back? I mean, what's the investment worth? No, I just give it to them. Why? Because of the relational piece. And that's how God wants us to relate to him. That's how the widow did it. She couldn't even get change. All she had was a penny. She couldn't go over to the cashier and go, hey, can you give me change for this? Deep devotion. Deep, deep, deep devotion. Survey says that the average Christian, who is a giver, not 0.1, but 0.2, gives 2 to 3%. What does that say? We don't see 2 to 3% anywhere. If you're going to go percentage, you see 10. So what does 2 to 3% say? I think it says everybody's paying taxes. And if you can lower your taxes, you lower your taxes. Otherwise, it'd be all over the map. And today, in the church today, I mentioned before, we have a lot of people not using their gifts, not even understanding their gifts, let alone using their gifts to build up the church. And we have a lot of people that don't jump in and fulfill their role financially, and the few are funding a lot. Can you imagine if the church jumped into these areas, how healthy the church would be? Everybody using their gifts, everybody share. That's why the Acts chapter 6 picture of they share had everything in common is a beautiful picture. But it's a challenge. We live in Orange County and we never have enough. And there's the issue. And we bring that into our thinking on everything. So, maybe it's asking God to reveal some things to you about your heart. Materialism, maybe. Maybe steps of faith. Maybe having more an engagement of the heart when you give. Maybe it's praying over it and asking God to reveal some things. I gave you a lot of daily devotions to kind of help work you through it, but here's the deal. We're all in the same boat. This is us. So when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to me. Are you a team player? Are you playing your part? Are you contributing to the body? If everyone gave like you, how would we look? If God were to say, let me check your heart and look at how you give to him, what would it reveal? Those are the truths here to process. And maybe there's a step of growth or devotional step this week. You know, I'm gonna take a step. I've never given before. And then I got my reasons. I don't have enough money. I don't know. Once I get done, I'm always negative, whatever. I'm not gonna let those get in the way. I'm just gonna give. Try that. See what happens in your heart, in your connection with God. Or maybe you're a faithful giver. And this is maybe just a deeper thing. And this is what it is for me. It's like, well, you know, if I'm not careful, I can be compulsory too. I can lock into my percentages too. Have I really engaged my heart? Have I really thanked God for what he's given me? Because I don't have anything without him. He gives me the very heartbeat I have. And how is that reflecting? Those are my processes. So Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Money's a very interesting thing. It's provides a lot of things in this world, especially in our town. Power, comfort, influence. And yet, Lord, we look at your life and you didn't let those trappings happen to you at all. And so as we navigate through this, Lord, I pray for those that have never given to you, that you would give them the faith and the boldness to take those steps and experience that deeper connection of faith. And for those that are faithful givers here, Lord, I just pray your continual blessing on them. Whatever they gave, you just return tenfold to them as they're good stewards of the money you've entrusted. And for those in the middle, Lord, we have a process to make sure we don't view you as the tax collector, but we actually view you as our Lord and Savior, the one that goes beyond monetary value and provides eternal value. So Lord, adjust us, challenge us, and bless us in the effort. In Jesus' name, amen.